Talk about a bit of context. The book of 1 Corinthians is primarily a book of rebuke for their spiritual immaturity. The church was a very worldly city, and Paul had a lot of issues with them, and that's why he had to write this first epistle to them to correct a lot of wrong teaching, wrong behavior, things like strife and unforgiveness and Christian liberty abuse, abuse of the gifts, resurrection, confusion, and so forth. And so this particular chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, was written because of their confusion about prophecy and tongues. Those two apostolic gifts were being abused in the Corinthian church. In the midst of all of that, in verse 20, he talks about spiritual maturity, because again, that's the problem with this church, was spiritual immaturity. And so that's where we're going to be this morning, in chapter 14, verse 20, where he takes a break from his teaching about prophecy and tongues. And look what he says: "Brethren," so we know who he's writing to, "be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." And then verse 40 is the other verse that's not specifically talking about tongues and prophecy, where he says that all things be done decently and in order. So today, I'm going to focus on that phrase, "in understanding be men." In understanding be men. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd use your word now to teach us about this matter of growing in our faith, growing in the word. And Lord, that you would just do a work in our hearts and lives that would be lasting. Lord, you would guide us into your truth. You would be glorified in our time and our attention as the Holy Spirit uses the word in our lives today. We love you so much and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's very important that we study words, because their words are straight from God. Amen. Every word of God is pure, we're told in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Very interesting thing, if you study these words, this word children in 1 Corinthians 14, it shows up twice, but it's actually two different Greek words behind the word children. The first word is talking about what we would refer to as children, but the second word, usage of the word children, the Greek word, is talking about an infant, basically a newborn. So that's good for us to know, because he says, "Be not children understanding." In other words, don't be a child in your understanding of spiritual things and your understanding of the scriptures. But in verse 20, he says, "But when it comes to malice, be like an infant." Which we all know infants don't have any malice, do they? So he's saying, be like an infant, still innocent, still there's no malice in them. So that's a very interesting point there. So he says, "Brethren," he's talking to Christians, "be not children in understanding." In other words, the Corinthian church were immature in their faith. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, and we'll see this. 1 Corinthians 3, 1. He says, "And I, brethren," so he's writing to Christians, "could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." As babes in Christ. So here he's using the actual word babes, and says, this is an issue. You guys need to grow in your faith. You need to become mature in your faith. Look, if you would, at Ephesians 4:14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. And again, God uses this word children. He's not talking about physical children. He's talking about our Christianity. He doesn't want us to be a child in our maturity. Notice he says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So here he's again reminding us to grow up into mature adults in our understanding of Scripture. So back to our verse, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Two basic points he's trying to make. He's saying that immature Christians will lean toward malice, mature Christians will not. Malice is basically ill will toward others, which we'll expound upon. But he says in that last part of the verse, but be ye children, or sorry, in understanding be men, which we're going to talk about. And we're going to expound upon that word men as well. So, first of all, in malice, be children. Remember, that Greek word is an infant. So, as Christians, of course, there shouldn't be any malice. But look at Proverbs 3:29, where God warns us about this. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 29. And then we're going to look in the New Testament at what goes with malice. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 29. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Devising evil, that's malice. And then let's look at Ephesians 4:31 and see what God groups together with this word malice. Ephesians 4:31. The Bible says that all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So bitterness was obvious. It's unforgiveness. Wrath and anger, obvious. Clamor means having a temper. It's the opposite of being quiet. Evil speaking, that's obvious. Be put away from you with all malice. So these are the things that God groups with malice. Colossians 3:8 is another one, if you want to turn there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. And so Paul is saying to these Christians who were showing off their supposed gifts, they were fake. Fake gift of prophecy, fake gift of tongues. They thought that they had to do these things to prove their spirituality. Isn't it amazing 2,000 years later we still have Christians that think that speaking in tongues is proof of spirituality? So it hasn't changed. But he says, instead, you need to work on this malice side, you immature Christians. Colossians 3:8. But now ye also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And then Titus 3:3. We'll do these in scripture order. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. The Bible says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. So there he talks about hatefulness. And then one more, 1 Peter 2:1. So notice it's all throughout the New Testament, this warning about immaturity in our faith leading to wrong behavior. 1 Peter 2:1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile, which is deceit, and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings. So the Corinthians had a problem. And Paul was writing this epistle to help them to correct this problem. The underlying problem was spiritual immaturity. But it came out in wrong behavior, which is how it always works. So look at the alternative here in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. In understanding, he says, be men. Be men. To better understand that word men, God gives us some other English translations of that Greek word, which helps us to get a good feel. So go to Hebrews 5:13. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. And let's see what he means when he says in understanding. In other words, in your understanding of Scripture, be men. Hebrews 5:13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. There's that word again. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. So that phrase, full age, is the same Greek word translated men here in 1 Corinthians 14:20. Full age. In other words, maturity. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern. So there's that discernment that comes with spiritual maturity, both good and evil. And then James chapter 1, verse 4. In this particular passage, same Greek word, but it's translated this time perfect. So men, full age, perfect. James chapter 1, verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And then while you're in James, look at James 3:2. And again, in this particular case, it's translated perfect man. Perfect man. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. James, of course, this whole passage is talking about the tongue. And he says immaturity is going to come out not only in our behavior in malice, but it's also going to come out in our tongue. It's going to cause problems. And Paul says it's time to become men. It's time to grow up. That word men, full age, perfect. Perfect man. Be mature in your faith. And again, his warning there in Ephesians 4:14, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That's spiritual maturity. God wants us to be mature in his word. And if we're not, it's not only going to affect our understanding of scripture, but it's going to affect how we behave and even how we speak, as we see there in James 3:2. Speaking about that, let's look at Proverbs 10 quickly, where he says that a perfect man is able to bridle the whole body, talking about if he can control his tongue, it can control the whole body. Proverbs 10:11, he says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. That's maturity. We don't have to turn to all of them. Proverbs 10:32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Proverbs 13:3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. And so God's desire, if you go to 1 Corinthians 3, is that obviously Paul's desire, and God spoke through him, was the Corinthian church mature in their faith, but God's desire is that we all mature in our faith. Now, that doesn't just happen. It'd be nice if it was osmosis, but it doesn't work that way, does it? So notice 1 Corinthians 3. And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. So he says to this church, I want you to grow up. I want you to become that mature, that perfect man. I want you to grow up into full age. So in malice, I want you to be like an infant. But in understanding, I want you to be a man. And this is for all of us. He wants us to grow, to mature in the word. And as we looked in Sunday school this morning in James chapter 1, let's turn there quickly. It's one thing to study it. It's another thing to implement it. Amen? And if we're implementing it, then it's going to come out in our behavior. If we're in disobedience, it's just a sign of spiritual maturity. That's what he's trying to teach them. James 1:21. But wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. You see that word naughtiness in verse 21? Same word malice. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Doers. Don't just learn it. Don't just hear it. Do it. Amen. Now again, this takes work. To grow in the word of God takes work. Now we all know 2 Timothy 2:15, but we can turn there quickly. And that's where God tells us that we need to study his word. Yes, we're commanded to be faithful to church. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Forsake not the assembling. But God doesn't ever say that going to church is the substitute for doing our own studying. We all have a copy of God's word. We all have the Holy Spirit to translate and interpret it for us. Amen. And we're commanded, 2 Timothy 2:15, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that it is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study this book. How do you study the Bible? Well, we had a study on that recently, how to study the Bible, the rules of Bible study. different ideas on how to approach it, chapter, book, biography, a virtue, whatever. But find a way that speaks to you, that's just for you, and get into the book and study it. Amen? This was Israel's issue. We've been seeing this here in Deuteronomy, especially when Moses is giving his final words to Israel. He keeps saying, I'm giving you the word. Here's the word of God. Number one, know it and follow it, right? Chapter 6 in Deuteronomy, what did he say? They'll be in thine heart. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And tonight, look at Deuteronomy 30. Tonight we're going to look at this passage, but he tells the people, these are his final words to Israel. He says, the word's not far away. The word isn't unreachable. Down in verse 11 of Deuteronomy chapter 30, he says, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. He's saying you can't go into the promised land and say you don't know what God wants. God's told you what he wants. He's written it down and given it to you in a book. And he's the same for us as God's children. Amen. He's told us what he wants. He's written it down. This is what I want. I want you to obey these commands. He says in verse 12, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven? In other words, it's not unreachable. Then he says, neither is it beyond the sea. Now, 100 years ago, it was beyond the sea for a lot of people, wasn't it? 200 years ago, thankfully, we had people willing to give up their home life and go across the sea and take the word of God to people. But none of us in here today can say, I can't find the word of God. I don't know where it is. It's unreachable. We all have a copy of it. Hallelujah. And that is something we should praise God for every day. But God says he wants us to mature in his word, to be men in our understanding of this book of truth that came straight from God. He gave it to us. He didn't give it to us so that we could say, oh, I'm so thankful I have it. He gave it to us so we could get into it. Amen? So we could study it. And, you know, I maybe talk too much about memorization, but we're also to memorize it, which helps in our understanding of Scripture. The more we put in our hearts, the bigger an arsenal the Holy Spirit has to pull upon when we face the trials and whatever of life that God brings into our lives. The more the word we have in our hearts, the more we're prepared to deal with those things. That word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So we're to be studying it. We're to be memorizing it. You know what else we're to be doing? Meditating in it. We're not to be meditating on our phones. We're to be meditating in the Word of God. And this is something that this generation's lost. It's meditating on the Word of God. Because we're always distracted by so much stuff now. But how many times are we told, look at Joshua 1:8, that not only should we know it, but we should meditate in it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And by the way, speaking of Israel, which we're going to be getting to Joshua chapter 1 very soon, this is the very first set of instructions to Joshua, who's about to lead God's people into the promised land. And verse 8, what does he say? This book of the law. Joshua, it's about my word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Meditate. Memorize. Study. Read. Go to church. Expose ourselves to it as much as we can, because God wants us to grow. Amen? We looked at it a couple weeks ago, but in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, if you want to turn there quickly, God is working in our lives. He's using trials. He's using people. He's using the Holy Spirit. He's using the Word of God. But his ultimate work in our lives, his goal is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. God wants us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That is impossible outside of the Word of God. And when God warned them, we'll go to Ephesians 4:14 again quickly. When God warned them, it was about the Word. Ephesians 4:14, about being children. Our passage says, be not children in understanding. Notice Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children. That's a command. That we're not allowed to be children in what? Our understanding of Scripture. Because if we are, what's going to happen? We're going to be tossed to and fro. We're going to be carried about with wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. That's a command. Be no more children. In malice be an infant. Amen? In malice be like a baby. But in understanding, be men. In understanding, be a full age. In understanding, be mature. Be a perfect man. Again, this isn't something that you get saved and 2 weeks later you're there. This is a process that starts the day you're saved and isn't finished until the day God takes us away from this earth, either through death or the rapture. We're never there. We've got to keep studying, keep studying, keep studying, keep implementing, amen, be ye doers, so that we might, in our understanding, be men. That is God's goal for every single believer. That in understanding, be men, which is our title. Now, I didn't preach to you today, but if there's someone here, you're not sure you're born again, you're not a child or a man from a spiritual point of view, you're actually dead. You're a dead person because you don't have life. You don't have eternal life. And if you don't receive eternal life from God, you will remain eternally dead in a place called hell. God wants you to receive life. He loved you so much, he gave his only begotten Son so that you could have life. And I would hope that in our invitation time, in just a few moments, you would realize, I need Jesus. I must be born again. And you'd be willing to just come and say, you know, I believe in God, but I'm not sure I have eternal life. We'll have someone take God's Word, the Bible, and show you. God wrote this book, 1 John 5:13, that you may know that you have eternal life. I would hope that everyone in this room says, I know that I have eternal life. If you don't, you can receive it today. Those of us that are Christians, are we growing in our understanding? Are we becoming that perfect man? Or maybe we've stagnated in our study of God's Word. Maybe we've stagnated in our meditation of God's Word. Maybe we've stagnated in our memorization, in our faithfulness. It's time to get back to where we need to be so that we can keep maturing and growing in our faith and become that perfect man. In understanding, be men. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. And just thank you that you led Paul to write to these Christians at Corinth, Lord. And we are so much like them in our weaknesses and in our failures. And yet we're so thankful that we have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Word of God to help us grow. And I pray that would be our desire, Lord, that we would continually be maturing in your Word. And we know, Lord, it'll be evident in our behavior that the way we speak, the way we act will be a reflection of our maturity in Jesus Christ. So in understanding, may we all strive to be that perfect man. In malice, may we constantly be that infant.